And if you would, please take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to be bouncing between chapters 32 and 33 this morning. Renewing again our journey through the narrative lectionary, we departed from that for a few weeks as we kind of focused on stewardship and what it meant to give joyfully and generously, looking at those two chapters in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And then, of course, last week was Giving Thanks Sunday, an opportunity for us to share the Word of God in our hearts and lives through testimony. But now we're re-engaging the narrative lectionary, and so the text this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. We've selected not a real original theme for this Advent season, the journey of Advent, and each of our households, each of you who are members or regular attendees here at Edgebrook, will receive from your deacon a devotional to be read each day of Advent entitled, I Wonder as I Wander, taken from the hymn that was sung as part of the lighting of the Advent wreath today. And so if you do not receive your devotional today, please be sure to see me. I have some extras, and we'll make sure you get your copy because being the first Sunday of Advent, the journey through this devotional will begin on this day. But even though it's a common theme, I think it's an apt one, an appropriate one, the theme of journey for the Advent season. You know, Advent always lasts 4 weeks. It begins on whatever that first Sunday of Advent is. Today is that day, December 1st, and then continues until December 25th, until Christmas Day. It's a period of time that's long enough, but thankfully not too long, to develop a kind of rhythm that can enable us to be more aware, I think, of God's presence in our life and God's presence in our world. But I think all of us know the challenges of trying to create and sustain the kind of rhythm that a meaningful Advent journey needs. Because added into the Advent season are all those things that go into making what one Christmas carol calls the most wonderful time of the year. It seems as though, I think for many, this season could more aptly be described as the most stressful time of the year, or the most exhausting time of the year. But even with all these holiday expectations, all these holiday activities, there's just something about the Advent season that entices us to discover or rediscover a rhythm in life that sharpens our senses to the presence of the holy in our world. We all need that, don't we? We need to know the presence of the holy, the presence of God in our world. We're readily aware that there's a lot of darkness in our world. We know too well about the hatred that exists, about the selfishness and self-serving in our world. We know a lot about the bigotry and the demonizing of others. There's a lot of darkness in our world. There's terrorism, another act of it done just this past weekend. There's violence, there's deceit. There's all kinds of perversity and disregard in our world for the most vulnerable, from the unborn to those woefully and chronically under-resourced with little hope for their lives. There's a lot of darkness in our world. Those realities are what make Advent, and I think the message of Advent, so necessary for our lives. And so necessary for our world as well. I mean, to say we are living in troubled times is simply to state the obvious. But if ever there was a biblical prophet who knew something about living through troubled times, that would be Jeremiah. Eugene Peterson, in his introduction to the book of Jeremiah, writes these words. Peterson wrote, "Jeremiah's troubled life spanned one of the most troublesome periods in Hebrew history, the decades leading up to the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC, which was followed by the Babylonian exile of the Jewish people. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And Jeremiah was right there in the middle of it, sticking it out, praying and preaching, suffering and striving, writing and believing. He lived through crushing storms of hostilities and furies of bitter doubt. Every muscle in his body was stretched to the limit by fatigue. Every thought in his mind was subjected to questioning. Every feeling in his heart was put through fires and ridicule." But remarkably, at one of the darkest times for this prophet, Jeremiah, who is often called the weeping prophet, at one of the darkest times, both for him personally and for the kingdom of Judah, whom he loved, but who he brought a hard word to, there is this word from the Lord that was given that began to reshape their present reality. And you find it, it actually begins back in chapter 30 of the book of Jeremiah, but I'm going to focus on the first part of chapter 32. We read these words in verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah 32. "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem," the text says, "and Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah." So what we have here, just to set the historical context, was that Jeremiah was imprisoned because of his politically disruptive message to Zedekiah and the people of Judah. And his message was simply this, that resisting Babylon was futile. You should lay down your arms now because Babylon is being used by God to bring judgment on the nation of Judah and on the nation of Israel. And Babylon was being used to that end because of Judah's sin and because of their refusal to repent and follow the Lord. Jeremiah witnessed God's people at their worst and was charged with delivering God's message of judgment while he was imprisoned in Zedekiah's court. If you read a little further down in chapter 32 of Jeremiah, you'll read that the prophet declares that the Babylonians will attack Jerusalem and they're going to burn it to the ground. You find that in verses 26 through 35 of the text. "And this will happen," Jeremiah declares, "because of the litany of sins of God's people." And he named some of them in those verses. Sins that include worshiping false gods, sins that include child sacrifice to false gods, sins that include Judah's refusal to repent and amend their ways after being repeatedly warned by God's prophets. Yet at the same time that he is proclaiming God's harsh word of judgment, Jeremiah is told by God to go out and buy a field, to literally invest in the land about to be possessed by the Babylonians. You talk about a bad real estate deal? This is it. But that's what God tells him to do in verses 6 through 15, earlier in chapter 32. And why does God tell him to do that? Well, it's because of another word that comes from God to Jeremiah. Verse 15 of chapter 32. "For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says, houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land. And then later, after the pronouncement about the sins of Judah and the judgment of God, the Lord expounds upon this promise found in verse 15 of chapter 32. It comes immediately after the pronouncement of judgment upon Judah that you read in Jeremiah 32, 26 through 35. Following that pronouncement of judgment, there comes these words from God, that the Lord will return his people to the land from exile, that he will restore their fortunes in the land of promise and give them rejoicing as those who are blessed by God. Listen to what God says to Jeremiah to proclaim to those that are about to go off into exile. It's in verses 38 and 40 of Jeremiah chapter 32. Also, you are to tell them, they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. This same prophecy is announced immediately after Jeremiah declares that God's judgment has come upon them for their sin and their rebellion, and that they're going to suffer and go into exile into Babylon. This is God's word for us today in our troubled times. Though sin is real, and the consequences of sin are real and devastating, sin never has the final word. Sin never has the final word. God's promised future of return and restoration and rejoicing is further revealed then in the one who is the righteous branch from David's line, the one called the Lord, our righteous Savior. And Jeremiah is given that word, which was read earlier today by Mary in Jeremiah 33, verses 15 and 16. God's promised future of return and restoration and rejoicing is revealed in the first coming of Christ, the one whose birth we celebrate at the end of our Advent journey. But even with Christ's first coming, we know that the realization of God's promise of return, restoration, and rejoicing for all the earth has not yet completely come. In Christ, God's kingdom reign has begun, but it's not fully realized. And so we live in our Advent season between the first and the second coming of Christ, and we experience troubled times. We experience dark days. Like the people in Jeremiah's day, we also know what it means to live in a world crippled by sin and under God's judgment. But in the midst of that, we also need to hear the word of hope that is contained in these promises from God as we journey through our own troubled times. And so just like it was for the people of God in Jeremiah's day, so it is for us as well. God takes seriously the darkness of our day and the troubles of our life, and God promises to deal with those. And He calls us, especially today, especially now, in this season of Advent, to take heart, to have hope, to make our Advent journey a journey into a renewed hope of that glorious day when all will be made right when Christ returns. And an Advent rhythm grounded in the hope of God, making everything right in the world through Christ the Lord, can open us up to both the surprise and wonder of the presence of the holy in our daily routines, and especially in these dark and troubling times. So I invite you, I challenge you, I encourage you. Let's begin anew and afresh today on this first day of the church year, this first day of Advent, our Advent journey, a journey into hope. Thanks be to God.